Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hello, everyone. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour to ignite your best life. Each Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we'll have new voices from a wide range of experts and everyday people about the best ways to make the most of your life. Today, I'm super excited. We have an amazing show in store for us. We're going to be talking about how to empower and educate yourself about the tricks of the trade used in political ads. And today on my show, I have Joe Brewer, who is the founder of Cognitive Policy Works, a Seattle-based think tank and consulting firm, which offers political consulting, strategic planning, policy briefs, and frame analysis. So welcome, Joe.
Thank you very much, AJ. I'm glad to be here.
I have been thinking about this show the whole week, and we, before the show, Joe and I had I had a preview of what he was going to be talking about, and I just told almost all of my friends who think actively about politics and about life and about voting about the show. I'm so excited. And one thing I want to do before we even start, Joe, is I want to take an attempt, and I'd like to hear your voice too about this. One thing that Joe said to me, before he did the show, is that it is really, really important that we take the information that Joe gives us and use it as a way to empower and educate ourselves to be conscious about the votes that we're making and how we're voting. And so this is not about getting cynical. It's not about getting bitter. It's about really tapping into the inner truth of what you believe in and not getting mixed up in the tricks of the trade. Is that, Joe, I know that you felt really powerfully about that too. Tell me a little bit about what you want to, for when listeners are listening to this, how you want them to interpret this information.
Well, what I want to share with the listeners today is a set of insights that come from the study of the human mind, in particular psychology, brain research, linguistics, and other fields. And what we're going to be talking about is how advertising can be manipulative, which in one sense sounds like a bit of negative information, but there's a positive side to it. The positive side being that if we understand how our unconscious tendencies work, then we can start to recognize when manipulative techniques are being used, which is a form of protection against them. And at the same time, we can start to understand more deeply what's really going on, which can actually be very difficult in today's political world.
Okay, great. And that is perfect. So what is really going on and what are our unconscious tendencies when we listen to these political campaigns? So before we dive deep in, because I'm so excited about this, but I really want to have the listeners know a little bit about you as well. So I don't know if you can track back to the very first time that you really got ignited about your work and had a lot of passion about it. Can you remember the time and maybe tell the listeners about, you know, what got you fired up about the work that you do?
Well, it all started when I was in graduate school and I was studying, of all things, the atmospheric sciences. So I was learning about climate change and I was learning about how clouds work in the big system that is our planetary climate. And I made an observation at that time that the big problems with global warming were not about the science. It wasn't so much that we needed another physicist who could study the way that sunlight interacts with clouds. I mean, we need that, but that's not the make it or break it. The thing that I felt was really the make it or break it was human behavior, that for us to address global challenges that threaten the viability of human civilization, that cause problems for us all around the world, that we really need to understand the way that human beings think and act, what our core values are, what our assumptions are about the world. And so I got into this field of what's called political cognition, which is basically studying how the human mind works in the context of political discussions and policy, kind of like the process of creating new public policies. So the thing that got me really, I guess, fired up about this from the beginning was the sense that it might be possible, and it turns out it is, to understand how human behavior works in order to bring people together and solve really big problems.
Okay, great. So tell us a little bit, when we were talking before, and I think this integrates a lot of what we were saying, you were saying that one of the things that you wanted people to understand is that there's a definition of progressives and conservatives, and that, in my sense from our previous conversation, that it had a lot to do with values and the core assumptions and all of the stuff that you just mentioned. Can you tell me a little bit about these groups and what you're thinking about progressives and conservatives and how it may be being defined and how you think it should be defined?
It's actually a really interesting thing to get into the labels, first of all, to think about the difference between, say, progressive conservative and Republican Democrat. Because oftentimes we hear the words and we interchange them, and that's not necessarily an accurate depiction. So I think it's very important from the beginning to recognize that the words we use may mean different things to different people. So when I say progressive, one person might think a certain set of values having to do with the way people feel about how healthcare should be treated or whether they should be concerned about the environment. But others might hear that word and think President Obama, and they might think Democratic Party, and they might think other things that are more about partisan politics. So from the beginning, I think it's important to distinguish the labels from the concepts so that when we talk about progressive and conservative, we can really get at what the core kind of essence is for what it means to be a conservative in American politics versus what it means to be a progressive. Now, the work that I do focuses on moral worldviews and people's sense of how the world should work and what is right and wrong. And related to moral worldview is the core values that define who a person is. So, for example, in politics, when a person is identifying themselves as a conservative, they will tend to value things like security, a sense of authority, a sense of self-discipline or self-reliance. And so they'll have these different character attributes that will stand out for them as the defining moral features of a good person. At the same time, a person who calls themselves progressive would be more likely to have a different set of values that they recognize. So they might think of someone who believes in justice and fairness, or someone who is very compassionate and acts out of care directly for others, especially those who are suffering around them. So already we can see that we're focusing on slightly different things in terms of which values come to the fore. So when a conservative or a person who calls themselves a conservative is engaging with political issues, like let's say care, they might be concerned about where the authority is and how healthcare is allocated. And if they're suspicious of the government, they may be concerned that the authority coming from the government is invalid. And so they're going to reject healthcare from the government because it's an issue of where the authority lies. Whereas a progressive thinking about healthcare is going to be thinking more about the suffering that people have when they're sick, and then having the concern that how healthcare is delivered should be sure to minimize that suffering. And that's going to be the thing that will stand out immediately to them and start to shape how they think about policies having to do with healthcare.
Interesting. So go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So just to wrap that up, there's a lot more I could say, of course, about which values define conservative and which define progressive. But just from this little example, we can see that they have different priorities, and they often have perfectly valid reasons for supporting one set of values over another. It has more to do with their underlying psychology as well as the concepts that they use to reason with and how the world works than it does about what is empirically right or wrong about a policy.
Interesting. Okay, so save that thought because I want to continue asking some questions on it. So what I'm hearing you say, just to wrap up, is that the labels of progressive and conservative, even though people would have you believe that it really means President Obama or the Democratic Party, it's really about the values that someone has in their worldview and the issues that – and those values actually influence the issues and how they interpret them. So I think I got that right, but let's talk about that a little bit more about the break. You are listening to Joe Brewer on Fired Up with CJ. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll explore more about how to empower and educate yourself about the tricks of the trade used in political ads. You can find out more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.firedupwithcj. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Did you know Greek Gods yogurt has 20 billion live and active probiotic bacterial cells per serving? This healthy type of bacteria in yogurt helps boost the immune system by protecting the gastrointestinal tract and fighting off harmful organisms, preventing disease and helping you keep in tip-top shape. Did you have your Greek Gods yogurt for breakfast today? For more information, visit GreekGodsYogurt.com and AnnaLuke.com.
Hi, I'm Brenda Ball.
And I'm Tony Ball, and we've been married for over 25 years. In that time, we found ourselves putting on a pound or two per year, and next thing you knew, we're 30, 40 pounds overweight.
That's when we made the choice to get on that Take Shape for Life program. After being married for 25 years and struggling with weight that whole time, I'm actually now two sizes smaller than my wedding dress.
With the Take Shape for Life program, you can lose those extra pounds. To learn more, visit simpletolose.com. Results will vary. Consult a physician before beginning weight loss program. Call or go online for complete program and discount details.
Today's tip is brought to you by David Emerald, author of The Power of TED. Call a timeout every now and then. Set your watch to remind yourself every 2 hours to take a look at your intentions and actions. Have you been focusing on reacting to problems or creating outcomes? Have you been responding from the victim role of the drama triangle or the creator role of the empowerment dynamic? Take time out to review your intentions and choices, making sure that you are, indeed, focused on creating the outcomes you want in your life. That is the way of a creator. Here's to the creator in you.
Transformation Talk Radio on Stereo 1230 WBLQ.
Hi, we're back on Fire It Up with CJ. My guest today is Joe Brewer, who is talking to us about how to empower and educate yourself about the tricks of the trade used in political ads. But before we continue, Joe, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact you. Could you give us your URL for your website?
Sure. My consulting firm is called Cognitive Policy Works, and the website is cognitivepolicyworks.com.
Great, thank you. So right before the break, Joe was talking about the labels of progressive and conservative and that they have to do with the worldviews that they have, that each of these parties or each of these labels may have associated with it. And that you talked about that these relate to psychology and the way that the person views that the world works this way. And so The question I have for you is, let's make this really tangible. So our goal is to really educate and empower people about how to make an intelligent vote. So how do these labels affect voting?
The way that they affect voting is actually pretty straightforward, at least in principle. And that is that people vote based on identification with other people or with ideas that they feel like are similar to themselves. So to tie it back to what I said earlier about how the notion of being conservative or progressive has to do with core values that constitute a person's identity, that people are actually voting based on that sense of identity. So if there's a political candidate who's running for office and putting out political messages, they will, if they're going to be successful, they will try to present their values that indicate what kind of person they are. And if the voter feels like that person, that candidate, is similar to them, and then they identify with that person, that becomes a foundation for building trust. And so people vote based on trusting the candidate to be similar to themselves. And so the core psychology underlying that is one of familiarity and similarity, causing a person to feel like they identify with either the candidate or the position, and voting based on those deep values that gives them their sense of who they are.
Okay. So here's what I think I heard you say. So I'm watching an ad, and I'm saying, I like that person because essentially that person is me, right? They have the same values as me. I relate to them. I have rapport with them, therefore I have trust, and I'm willing to have this person lead me because, you know, they have the same core values and I kind of identify with them. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And one of the really interesting things that's happening in a person's brain as they're watching the political ad is that there's a region of the brain that's called the mirror neurons. And it's the place where there's a set of neurons, which are nerve cells, that will fire a person is watching an action that another person's doing. And it'll be like if you're watching someone grab a cup. There's a part of your brain that's mirroring the act. So actually in your brain is this processing of information that causes you to feel a connection with something out in the world. So if you're watching a political ad and you see a person who you feel is like you, you're actually forming a bond of empathy in the way that your brain is processing that information, but it's all happening outside of your conscious awareness.
So, wait a second. So there's actually these neurons firing, and so what are these neurons in my brain say?
Yeah,
these
neurons, they're which are called mirror neurons, and it's the biological foundation of empathy. You know, it's that when your brain simulates the action of another, it also activates the emotions of that action. You start to feel what that other person is feeling through the simulation in your brain. So when you're watching a political ad and you see a person that is expressing themselves in a way that feels like you feel about yourself, your brain is actually simulating that and giving you two things. One, it's giving you a pleasant feeling of this person seems to be like me, and that feels good, familiar and comfortable. But then also it's lowering your defense. The person feels good, so I feel safe, so I don't have to be critical of what they say. And all that is happening in the way the brain is processing the information, which is something you can't consciously access while it's happening.
Okay, so this is a difficult thing then. So I'm watching an ad, and my mirror neurons are firing. I'm feeling really good. My defenses are getting lower. I'm not being really, you know, and I'm kind of, my defenses are being lower, therefore I'm not being critical. And this all happens on the unconscious level. So how can we get conscious about it then? How can I mean, this is happening on an unconscious level. What am I supposed to do? What are our listeners supposed to do when they are prey to this? And I don't even know if we're praying, I don't know if that's even the right term, but what should one do?
It's not that this is necessarily a bad thing. It's just part of how the brain works in terms of how we relate to other people. So it's not that it's inherently good or bad. But the thing that's difficult about it is that it's invisible, meaning it's happening and we don't see it. So the thing that the viewer needs to watch for is they need to watch for the things that they're identifying with, and then they need to confirm that those things are actually real for the person. So as an example, look at the political communications of George W. Bush while he was president, he spent a lot of time talking about ringing in debt, about reducing the size of the government. He had a lot of things he said like that that resonated with many people. But at the same time, his actions were causing the debt to explode, was causing there to be tremendous need for government agencies to be expanded to address the problems that weren't being addressed. And so actually his actions were leading to outcomes that contradicted what he was saying in his political communication.
But a
person who's just watching the ad and isn't aware of what's going on, you know, what is actually unfolding in the larger story, will just feel comfortable, they'll let their defenses down, and they'll accept that this person is someone trustworthy, when in fact there may be other things happening.
So no problem. You know, this is kind of happening at an unconscious level. Don't feel bad. It's neither good or bad. But also don't let your defenses down. Don't assume just because this person is talking to that part of my core values that that's something that's truly, truly representative of their actions and who they are as a person in reality.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing you
say?
That's
right. Exactly. So there's a need for further validation of what the character of the person is.
Okay,
and part of that is about the values that they espouse. And it may be that they espouse a set of values that you just don't agree with. So take myself, for example. I'm a political progressive. So when I hear a candidate who is expressing conservative values, they may be totally authentic and therefore trustworthy from the perspective of being honest. But I just don't resonate with them because those aren't my values. And that's different from a candidate who is expressing my values, and I feel like they're like me, but their actions actually contradict those values. So they're saying one thing and doing another.
Yeah.
And in that case, it's dishonest what they're doing. And I'm seeing it in the relationship between the values that they are expressing and the values inherent in the actions they're taking.
Okay, it's not dishonest. I mean, I guess it is dishonest in a sense, right? Because they're saying I'm one way to because I know that this will manipulate you and have you vote for me. But this is, I mean, this is also part of the game, right? I mean, this is part of the game. I mean, are Republicans the only one that you can accuse of doing this? Do Democrats do this as well? And are they doing it, doing the same kind of thing?
Yeah, it's actually common practice in political communications, at least at the national level, to attempt to do two things in a political communication. One thing that is attempted is to engage a certain demographic of people, to say there is this audience that we want to target our communications to and we want to attract them. And then there's another audience that they'd really rather have disengaged. They'd rather have a certain community of people not vote or be disinclined to vote because those people would vote against them. So in political communications at the national level, there's usually this two-pronged strategy of attract the people that we think will vote like us and turn off the people that we think are going to vote for the other guy or for the other girl. And so part of the difficulty in watching political ads is that we may be targeted for one or the other of those strategies. Maybe that one ad is targeted to try to make me feel disgusted about politics, so I'm less likely to vote, because that makes it easier for the other guy to win, because I probably would have voted for their opponent. But other political ads are targeted to try to make me feel good about voting or feel the urgency of voting so that I'll support something. You know, and they're targeting me using understanding of the psychology of advertising to create one of those two responses.
Okay, got it. So, again, they have these two strategies. So here's what I'm taking away. I'm going to be listening to certain ads, and I'll think, wow, I like that person. They're just like me, and I love me, therefore I love this person. I'm going to vote for them without doing any research at all. Okay, so that's we want to stop that as much as we want to stop the, wow, this person is totally not like me. They repulse me, and I'm just not even going to vote. I mean, is that right? I mean, we want to be irrespective of these two strategies. We want to be thinking about really the candidate and what they're doing. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the beautiful things about the political world right now is that we have a revolution in communications technology, a lot of it driven by the Internet. And so now it's much easier than it has ever been before, but even more than a few years ago. So nowadays we can information from multiple sources pretty easily. So it becomes a lot easier to double check what someone's doing. And there are actually some places where you can get this work done for you. One of my favorite examples of challenging the strategies of political communication comes from The Daily Show on Comedy. So show video footage from something a politician said a few years ago and juxtapose it, you know, set it side by side with something they're saying today. And you can watch people contra themselves. You can watch people say one thing in one situation and say the opposite in another, and you can tell that they are being disingenuous. So it's possible to gather that sort of information, whereas a few years ago that would have been really difficult or impossible to do.
I love that, because that means that all I have to do is watch Jon Stewart. No, I know that's not what you're saying. Okay, so we're going to go to the break, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that and also negative campaigns, which I think it falls into your strategy, too. So you're listening to Joe Brewer on Fired Up with CJ. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll explore more about how to empower and educate yourself about the tricks of the trade used in political ads. You can find more about our guests and listen to this and past shows by going to www.fireitupwithcj.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness natural food for pets. This is where true wellness begins.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and businesses thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's EasternEssence.com.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
You're listening to TransformationTalkRadio.com on Stereo 1230 WBLQ.
Hi, we're back on Fired Up with CJ. My guest today is Joe Brewer, who is talking to us about how to empower and educate yourself about the tricks of the trade used in political ads. But before I continue, I want to make sure everyone knows Joe's website. Joe, can you tell us your website again?
Sure. It's www.cognitivepolicyworks.com.
Great. Thank you. So before the break, we were talking about the different strategies that political campaigns use to either engage certain demographics or to disengage them, to not vote. And one of the things that you said is, you know, irrespective of which of these two policies, we have to, as responsible voters, get some information from multiple sources to see if, in fact, the core values that are expressed on these on these TV ads are really in alignment with the actions that these political candidates Now, during the break, we were talking about, you know, what you thought were some good neutral sources where people could get this information. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I'll name three of them really quickly. One is called FAIR, F-A-I-R, which is about fairness in news reporting. And it's a fantastic resource for looking at how the news media covers different issues from across the news sources. Another one that's really good is called Media Matters, which does a similar thing, focusing primarily on political discourse. And then a third one is called Fact Check. And Fact Check is basically where a public statement is made, and Fact Check, the people there will go and confirm whether the facts are actually accurate and what that person said. So all three of those, FAIR, Media Matters, and Fact Check.
Got it. Great. Now, what I wanted to do next is to really use a real-life ad that's maybe using either strategy one or two to either engage us and disengage us, and maybe walk us through an ad and tell us how these ads work.
Sure. I've got a really interesting one that just came out about 2 weeks ago, and it's from a person who's running for Senate in West Virginia. His name is Joe Manchin. And any of the viewers who want to watch this ad can just go on YouTube and type in the words Dead Aim and Joe Manchin, and they'll find this ad. The interesting thing about it is that the ad presents a set of emotional cues and core values that align with conservatism, but this candidate is running for Democratic office. So it's a rather interesting juxtaposition. And then the ad, being titled Dead Aim, what the topic is for the ad, or what it shows visually, is the candidate, Joe Manchin, taking a rifle, putting a bullet into the chamber, locking it, and then firing the gun at a piece of paper on a tree. And the piece of paper on the tree is the cap-and-trade climate legislation that the Obama administration and the Democrats, and especially the House, and to some extent the Senate, have been promoting. So here we have a candidate running for Democratic office who is depicting a scene where he takes a gun and fires it at a piece of legislation championed by his own party, which is a rather interesting strategy. But one of the things that's happening in it is, I guess there are two major emotional primers that I think are really disconcerting in this ad. The first one is the use of violence, the taking of a gun and the firing of the gun, which is putting the viewer into a state of alertness and caution, as though they're feeling a threat around them, which is going to make them less likely to consider the information in a nuanced way. And the reason for that is when in a state of fear, an animal will have to make rapid decisions that could be life or death decisions. So just in terms of how they process information around them, they're going to make rapid decisions so that they can respond quickly. And this is going to make the viewer less likely to be critical, like rationally critical of the information presented to them. They're going to be making snap judgments. But the second thing that is a really harmful subliminal message is you have a political candidate taking a gun and firing it at a position that President Obama is supporting. And there's a lot of other media messaging out there in the mainstream media that has hinted at violence toward the president. So, for example, the series of episodes in the last 2 years where a person took a rifle to a public rally that Obama was speaking at, and they showed the images of those people holding their rifles, which was implicitly saying, here's a rifle, here's the president. Well, that subliminally is saying assassination.
Oh, my
goodness.
So here's
a man who's taking a rifle and firing at Obama's policy position, which is tapping into those other emotional primes from the mainstream media that is actually endorsing violence against the president.
All right, this is just blowing my mind apart here. Okay, so it's hard for me to not get triggered about this whole thing, too. So let's actually map it back to your model. So what you said is that in this ad, this supposed Democrat, I mean, is it? So is this guy is clearly Republican dressed in Democrat clothing? I mean, what is that? I mean, is that what I'm supposed to draw from this?
Yeah, he's what I would call a dino, which is a Democrat in name only. Because he's espousing a set of conservative values, which I didn't talk about the values component of the ad. But he's basically saying that he is going to protect the average person from environmental regulation, from government encroaching on people's personal freedoms. And so he's engaging in messaging that is supporting conservative views. And at the same time, he's using these fear-based tactics to both cause people to be less critical of what's happening around them because they're in a state of fear, and also implicitly endorsing violence against the president.
Wow.
All in a 30-second ad.
Wow. Seems almost unbelievable that, you know, a bunch of marketing people would be putting together an ad to endorse violence towards the president. I mean, really? Are people that bad? I mean, seriously, I can't believe
that. It's very subtle. It's very subtle, and the interesting thing is that the ethical standards for news reporting tend to focus on factual information, but everything I just described was in the emotional context of the ad, and the emotional context is not something that can be easily tied to one interpretation or another, so that means it's much more difficult to regulate. So this gives leeway to political communicators who want to introduce subversive messages into their ads and get away with it, because they're actually tinkering with people's emotions rather than with the information or the factual information content of the ad.
Yeah, and it's working, because you know what? Even just mentioning this ad is making me go berserk in my head. Seriously. I mean, I almost can't be rational right now, because even just the thought of, I mean, it's like some kind of thing that you'd see in a sinister movie. You know, someone would sit there and even try to do this. But, okay, let's try to get rational and map it to your model. So this is a dino, which means that he's probably a Republican dressed in he's basically a Republican who is pretending to be a Democrat. And so his values of like, hey, you know what, we need to get back, you know, his values that are, you know, targeted towards average people. People will listen to it and say, okay, I get it. The people in West Virginia would say, yes, I get it. I relate to this guy. I trust him. And then I see the bullet being fired at a piece of paper, and my fight or flight is what I'm hearing you say goes up. This emotional power of the ad kicks in. I feel like a sense of like just frightened. And then I say, I'm not going to critically judge the candidate, or I'm not going to critically judge what am I not critically judging when I see this violent thing?
Well, there are a lot of things you're not critically judging. As it turns out, to engage in critical introspection, you have to have a level of calm and you have to have a sufficient length of time to go through the steps of logical thought. And here's an ad that in just a few seconds is triggering a set of emotions that are causing your brain to shift modes. You're shifting from whatever mode you were in before. You might have been calm. You might have been really engaged because you were watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and this ad came on during the space in between or something else. But it's taking whatever mode you were in and shifting it to a mode where you're anticipating violence and you are alert to the threat. By being alert to the threat, you're not alert to anything else. Or you're less alert to other things.
So I'm not alert to anything else. Therefore, I'm not going to critically question this gentleman and his ad and the fact that he's shooting through Obama's policy. Is that what I'm not going to be questioning, or questioning this candidate at all, or all of the above?
Well, it'll be different for different people. When I watched the ad, I had a strong reaction of emotional disgust. I started by feeling the fear, and then I felt disgusted that someone was using fear to manipulate me. And I also felt disgusted that he was using violence against something that I feel is very important, which is that I feel we really need to deal with global warming as a moral crisis. And this guy was not only denying that, but he was denying the validity of science. He was denying the role of government in society, saying that he thought that we should just get rid of government because it was in the way, and he would inflict violence on government if it got too close. And all of that felt to me like something that is, like, this is a person who does not believe in the core ideals of the founding principles for this country.
Interesting.
The idea of being a place that's open and accepting to all people. And so I had all of these reactions. A different person would have different reactions. But a person who tends to identify with conservative values in West Virginia would feel like they needed to have their personal freedoms protected. And here was someone who was holding the gun, which means this is the person that will protect me against the threat. So for them, the threat is real, but it drives them to align with the candidate. Whereas in me, the fear that I felt caused me to be threatened in a way that I aligned opposite the candidate.
Interesting. All right, well, this is fascinating. I don't want to go to break, but I have to. So you're listening to Joe Brewer on Fired Up with CJ. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to explore more about how to empower and educate yourself about the tricks of the trade using political ads. You can find more about our guest and listen to this and past episodes by going to www.firedupwithcj.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Do you feel energetically bankrupt? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know CRA anticipates a problem and solves it before it occurs and often prevents a disaster waiting to happen? With CRA, we have predictable results before the onset of illness. CRA is an energy assessment of the body's electrical circuits, evaluating the emotional, structural, and nutritional needs of the body. by reinforcing the body with specific nutrition to promote peak performance. CRA detects the results of what the body has been taking in, causing ill health, and gives insight into removing the obstacle to healing and nourishes the body back to health. CRA balances you emotionally, nutritionally, and structurally for you to be the best you can be and gives you a glimpse of a world where aging appears to be slowed indefinitely. With CRA, I will design a program for your specific needs. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Stereo 1230 WBLQ and Transformation Talk Radio.
We're back on Fired Up with CJ. My guest today is Joe Brewer, who's talking with us about how to empower and educate yourself about the tricks of the trade using political ads. Joe's website is www.cognitivepolicyworks.com. So, Joe, right before the break, you were sharing with us the advertisement in West Virginia of Joe Manchin. Is it spelled M-A-N-S-I-O-N, like the House Manchin?
M-A-N-C-H-I-N, like your chin.
C-H-I-N. Okay, got it. And you're telling us about the ad where this gentleman who is a Democrat is eliciting two powerful emotions, one of violence because he shoots a gun at one of Obama's environmental policies. And two, he's basically trying to engender violence against Obama. So, part of what I was asking you during the break is, what is this guy trying to do? I mean, he's a possibly Republican trying to be dressed up as a Democrat. This dino guy thing that you were talking about. What is he trying to do? How is he going to win the election? What is his strategy? How is he going to win the Democrats? And how is he going to, you know, win over this conservative group, and how is he using these two strategies that you mentioned before in terms of engaging a certain demographic and disengaging another one?
It works like this. He's wanting to engage and attract two different groups of people at the same time. One of them is what I would call the loyal followers of the Democratic Party, people who are just going to be inclined to see themselves identify as a Democrat and so therefore tend to trust people who are Democrats. That's what I would call brand loyalty, just like if you drink Pepsi instead of Coke. You have a loyalty to your Pepsi brand. Well, here it's a loyalty to the Democratic Party brand. At the same time, he's trying to appeal to the demographic of people who have conservative values. So he is engaging those who feel like government should not encroach on their business, and actually government's generally a bad thing that should be kept small and far away. And so he's attempting to use the Democratic Party affiliation to attract Democrats who don't really pay attention to his positions, but just identify with the brand. And at the same time, those who identify strongly with those conservative values, which are pretty strong, especially in rural parts of Virginia and West Virginia. Now, at the same time, he's trying to turn off another group of people. And this other group of people he's trying to turn off is the people who are disgusted by negative ads. The people who see negative ad after negative ad by all these different politicians and just get so sick and tired of them that they don't vote. They just say, I don't even care about politics anymore. This is just irritating. And so in that sense, what he's doing is he's using a negative campaign strategy to try to polarize people, which means make them feel strongly that they either identify with him or that they do not identify with that tactic of using fear. And then using that to try to split the audience of voters to get a configuration that gives them a majority.
Interesting. So there's people who are diehard Democrats. There are people who are Republicans who will find his conservative values appealing because he's just like me, has the same values. And then it's what I understand about politics. There's just the great divide. There's this big gap of people who are undecided. So with those undecided people, he's trying to polarize them to go, oh God, I just can't, I abhor violence and I'm not even going to vote. Or I don't identify with these people at all. It disgusts me and I'm not going to vote. Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And, and this is all part of what is called the 50 plus one strategy.
Okay,
and that is that politics is treated like a game where there's a winner take all outcome. Whoever gets 50% plus one wins the election. And so it doesn't matter that you get 50 plus 1% of all voters. You just have to get 50 plus 1% of all people who voted. So if you have a large block of people that just don't vote, then your chances of getting up to 50% plus 1 are higher than if you have a larger community that you have to convince. So this tactic of turning off people who are not strongly conservative or liberal or who are not strongly Democrat or Republican is actually making it easier because there's a smaller pool of people to convince using these divisive tactics.
Right. Interesting. Okay, unfortunately, we're going to have to – what I want to do is I'm a coach, so I love to get people fired up and acting. And so my question to you is if, you know, people were to do three things. They're fired up after today's show. They really want – they want to do three things. What would be those three things, easy things that they can do to make sure that they're voting responsibly and are empowered with this information? What do you think are three things they could do?
One thing that they should do that's actually kind of fun is go to Wikipedia and type in the words cognitive bias and just read the article. I say this because there are a number of different ways that people's thinking is skewed toward one choice or another in a decision, and most of us don't know about them. So just go and read that and then think about what those different biases mean when watching political ads. Just an interesting exercise to do.
Okay.
The second thing I think that would be really good to do would be to have a discussion with someone else, with a friend or a family member, about what is happening emotionally in an ad while they watch it. So the next time that there's a political ad that comes on, to consciously pay attention to the emotional tones and then turn off the television or the radio and have a conversation about what they experienced, how it felt, and what their reactions were, with the goal of trying to understand how the ad is influencing them. Having that conversation can be really powerful. And then the third thing that I recommend that they do is actually come to our website, because we have a resource center and we have hundreds of articles posted that people can go and read through to learn more about how the political mind works, and that might encourage them to want to learn more.
Okay, is that in any particular part of your website? So you go to www.cognitivepolicyworks.com, and then do you have a resource area? Is that right, or where do you have that on your website?
Yeah, just on the front page, you'll see a tab at the top that says Resource Center, and you go there, and there will be a drop down list of different areas to look into and dig further. And so, just go there and start reading articles and start to familiarize yourself with how psychology works in politics, why the way our brains work the way they do influences our political behaviors, why people vote one way or another. We have lots of stuff there that people can come and read through.
Got it. So I think those are really three very concrete next steps. Be aware of the bias, and then be aware when you're watching an ad and talk to another person about the emotional tones. And by doing so, I think what you're saying is be aware of what it is so that you know where you're being manipulated. Is that why we should, you know, sit down with a friend, watch an ad, so you kind of see how your emotions are being manipulated to think one way or another? Is that what you meant by that?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not that the emotional tone is necessarily harmful. It's just part of how we think and make decisions. But if we're conscious about what we feel is happening and we have other people to validate those feelings, that gives us more confidence that the way we feel is valid, meaning that we weren't being manipulated to choose something that goes against our own values.
Right. So this is going back to the get to a calm and happy place. Before we wrap up, tell us a little bit about your webinar on November 17th. It's called How to Bring About Large-Scale Behavioral Change.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm very interested in is how to bring about big changes in people's behavior. And that might sound like it's manipulative, especially in the context of this conversation, but really it's more about being empowered. So if we want to, say, solve big problems like global warming, we have to figure out ways to make the right choice the easy choice. So I'm going to be giving a workshop online, so it'll be a webinar, that explores how large-scale behavioral change campaigns have been done in the past and how we can learn from those to start to see how we can try to make changes and direct our country toward where we feel like we need it to go in the future.
Okay, people, so go ahead and go to www.cognitivepolicyworks.com, sign up for the newsletter. You'll be able to also learn about the webinar that Joe just mentioned. Let me just wrap it up. So next Thursday on Fired Up with CJ, we're going to hear from Joe, I wanted to thank you for your insights. I just find all this stuff completely fascinated. For listeners, I want to thank you for all tuning in to Fired Up with CJ. Please join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Next Thursday on Fired Up with CJ, we're going to hear from our rock and roll Buddhist, John Begay, who will apply the teachings of Buddha so that you can live with greater wisdom and compassion in the midst of demand, stress, and distractions of our hyper-connected world. If you have any questions or comments about this show, please go to www.firedupwithcj.com and post them on our blog. Joe, thanks again. This was a fantastic show. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you for having me, CJ. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll see you next Thursday.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.